The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're with us. We have a jam-packed show for you this afternoon. Lots of exclusives along the way. No time to waste. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I've told you for a long time that this was coming. This effort to try to get us warring factions because you're easier to conquer once divided. We're all easier to conquer once divided. And what we're seeing now by government, is such a calculated way to divide all of us. And it's not achieving anything. And we're seeing this with critical race theory in the schools, where they're teaching children to not like each other based on their skin color. We're seeing that in other elements of government. We'll have some stories on that coming up in just a couple of minutes. But let me start close to my home and to my heart. There's an elementary school in my neighborhood. All three of my daughters attended this elementary school. It's called Brookside Elementary. And the Brookside PTA has sent out this notice for the Families of Color play date. It's going to be on a week from Saturday. What is it? This play date is open to all grade level students of color and their families. Come connect and enjoy some refreshments. So apparently, only children and families of color, and apparently Caucasian or white is not a color. Why do we do this? And I've exchanged emails with the contact for this event, and she must be a neighbor of mine, so of course I'm going to be nice and respectful, but I really wanted to know, and we just haven't been able to arrange her to come on. But why are we dividing people like this? Why, when it's made racism and racial tensions worse in the last 2 years than it has been in decades in America? The more we've had government and the radical left focusing on dividing us by race, the worse race relations have gotten. And I was thinking, in the same school district where there is the Families of Color play date, in the 10 years that I coached in the district, I never in a million years, I had very diverse teams, I never in a million years would have said, okay, I want all the black kids on this court, I want all the white kids on this court. Because that would be counterproductive to what you do to build a great team. And that is, you bring everybody together. You find common goals. You work to achieve common goals. The phrase that I used all the time, my girls got so sick of hearing me quote Rudyard Kipling at practice from The Jungle Book, but I did all the time. The strength of the wolf is the pack. The strength of the pack is the wolf. Individuals make the community stronger. The community picks up and strengthens individuals. Wolves have known this for as long as there's been wolves, because that's the only way they can hunt, is by individual strength and pack-like mentality. Why have we gotten away from that? Why are we dividing everybody? Why is government dividing people by race? And then people say, oh, man, the shooting in Buffalo is racist, and the shooting in Texas is primarily Hispanics, and it was Asians in a church in California. And it seems like it's making things a lot worse in America the more that we have government focusing on all of this stuff. Give you a couple of other examples. The Biden administration, just this week, announced that all public schools in America, K through 12, have to put boys in, allow boys in girls' bathrooms, girls in boys' bathrooms. They must allow boys in the girls' locker room and girls in the boys' locker rooms. If they want to get any federal lunch money, every public school, K through 12 in America, has to allow boys in the girls' locker room. How insane have we gotten as a nation? We have the same schools that say, hey, let's separate the black and the white kids. Let's get them all divided. But then they say, oh, yeah, but let's get the boys and the girls in the same locker rooms when they're taking off their clothes. We've gone completely insane. As everything is upside down. Everything is upside down. And so what does this mean? There's a great piece in The Federalist today that this radical school movement has effectively banned Christian kids from public pools and libraries and summer camps because they are forced to allow boys and girls to sleep in the same cabins. And most Christian families and other faiths just don't go for that sort of thing. They see that there is a potential problem if we have 12, 13, 14-year-old hormone-filled kids sleeping in the same cabin at a summer camp. But that's the push. That's what we must do as a nation. But we got to keep the whitey and the people of color separate at our schools and elsewhere. Jason Rance is going to join me at 12:30 this afternoon. He has a story up on My Northwest about the Tacoma Parks. After the Buffalo shooting, the Tacoma Parks hosted a white staff-only meeting to fight white supremacy violence, they said. And there were some staffers in Tacoma Parks who were furious about this. They said that they did it to have no trauma for their people of color employees. And I don't understand, because nobody, regardless of your skin color, supports a mass shooting. I mean, I would think that would be the thing that would bond us. That we all are filled with revulsion with what happened in Buffalo and in Uvalde, Texas. But no. The way it's being characterized is, well, we're going to talk about this, but we got to keep whites and blacks separate when we talk about it, because it's going to be too triggering if you have to talk about it with each other. What? Since when? Since when are we not able to talk with people of a different race? This is madness that's going on, but we're seeing this in every element of government right now, and we're seeing it too often in the media. You had Barack Obama, who sent what is being roundly recognized as one of the most inflammatory tweets anybody can remember, when yesterday Obama tweeted, "As we grieve the children of Uvalde today, we should take time to recognize the 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. His killing stays with us all to this day, especially those who loved him." What's the intent of that tweet by Barack Obama? Is it to unite people? How do you tie Uvalde, Texas, to the murder of George Floyd, whose murderer is going to prison for most of the rest of his life? He's paying for that crime that he committed. How does that tie in with Uvalde, Texas? And how, with Barack Obama tweeting that out, is that designed to be received by people who read it? Well, it's designed to, once again, take us back to that glorious summer of 2020, the summer of love, when people were marching in the streets and often rioting and burning down buildings and inspiring hatred, inspiring racial hatred in America. That was at the leading edge of what I'm talking about. The Washington Post sent out a tweet yesterday marking the two-year anniversary of when George Floyd was shot and killed by a police officer. Is there anybody in America who thinks that George Floyd was shot to death? But perhaps just saying killed by a police officer, which would be factually accurate, maybe that wasn't inflammatory enough for the Washington Post. Maybe that wouldn't achieve the goals that the Washington Post had set of trying to divide us, of trying to get people to hate even more than they already do. So you tweet out that George Floyd was shot, which of course is not anywhere near what happened. But the media's doing this. Barack Obama's doing it. People here locally are doing this. I told you about this one yesterday. Nick Hanauer, prominent Democratic activist, accidental billionaire, shallow thinker, Nick Hanauer, who has devoted much of his energy and wealth to trying to raise taxes on everybody. And Nick Hanauer on Twitter yesterday, you probably heard me talking about this, when he issued a prayer on Twitter. Dear God, please reach down in all your mightiness and give all of these Republican politicians terminal cancer. Let them die excruciatingly painful deaths and then chuck them into hell for all eternity. Amen. What's that designed to do? Oh, you don't think like me. I'm going to pray for your death from terminal cancer. And as I said yesterday, I didn't have any relationship with my dad at all. But I watched him die in a hospice bed in our living room, weighing 80 pounds. World War II combat vet paratrooper. He weighed 80 pounds after his lung cancer had metastasized into brain tumors. And that's what Nick Hanauer, prominent Democratic activist who lives in the Highlands, the most exclusive neighborhood just north of Seattle. He was pushing for a Seattle income tax, even though he lives in Shoreline. That's another story. But Nick Hanauer prays that people who don't think like him get terminal cancer and ask the Lord to let them die excruciatingly painful deaths and then chuck them into hell for all eternity. What's the intent of that? That's the same as the Washington Post's lie in a tweet. It's the same as Barack Obama's. Maybe people don't hate each other quite enough. Let me see if I can throw a little kerosene on the fire here. This is coming from government and governmental activists. So you have to ask yourself, what is the motivation? Why? Why are they doing this? Why do we have a play date? A play date that Whitey can't attend. Why? I'll keep trying to get hold of the PTA person. Like I said, we traded emails. I'll still try to get her on. Why is Tacoma Parks having meetings for white employees and another meeting for people of color employees? Why? Why aren't we trying to come together? Because, as I've said, I do know the beauty of people from a variety of races coming together with a common purpose, lifting each other up, and achieving at the very highest level. And yet, things are now designed to make kids hate each other, make kids distrust each other, make adults sit in different rooms based on their skin color. Boys and girls, they got to share the same locker room. But the black people and the white people, we got to keep them separate. Do you see how insane we've gone? So again, the question must be asked, why? And it gets back to what I said at the very beginning. The more this can be inspired, the easier we are to conquer. And make no mistake, that's with much of this coming from one end of the political spectrum, there is the continued Marxist ideal of we need to tear down society. Tear it down. Thoroughly complete destruction of society so we can rebuild in our image. I told you about this. It was in writing in the leaked documents that I got 8 years ago, that was the intent of many powerful political people in Seattle and King County government. Now we're seeing it right in front of our eyes, and it's sweeping over America too. Don't let this continue. We got to take back control. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Yeah, along these same lines, it was Jason Rantz who had the story about the blacks and whites only meetings in Tacoma parks. What's the whole purpose behind that? Jason will join me live right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. No more of that nonsense of having the kids together, growing together, loving each other. Playdate, people of color, meeting, white people. Everything is dividing us these days. Okay, you heard my story about my local elementary school. As I mentioned, our friend and colleague, Jason Rantz, 770 KTTH every afternoon. He has a story up on My Northwest about what's going on with Tacoma Parks, dividing people by race. Jason joins us live. Hello, sir.
Hello. I hope you're not shocked by this story, because it kind of feels like we're very clearly going in this direction across the country.
We sure are, man. And that's what I'm saying. We gotta understand that this is an agenda at work to try to separate people like this. But tell us what's happening in Tacoma Parks.
Well, I will, in fact, read you the two-sentence email that was sent to all staff members over at Metro Parks Tacoma. And it was sent by Narinda Rosario. She is the department's chief equity officer. I am holding space for white staff to connect and share their thoughts and feelings around the Buffalo supermarket massacre that took the lives of 10 innocent black people in Buffalo, New York on Saturday, May 14th. This is an invitation, not an expectation. Now, already there's a little bit of a red flag for a lot of folks who work there. Like, why are we having meetings just for white people? Everyone is affected by this from a national perspective of,
right,
of knowing about it, feeling maybe a little bit anxious about it. And so at least one staff member was brave enough to speak up. And this person sent a reply all, so it went to all the staff members saying, "White staff, this doesn't sit well with me separating fellow coworkers by skin color. It was a tragic event that took place, but I'd like to think we all fit under the same umbrella as Americans. Our hearts go out to those affected." Now, a couple days later, Rosario then responds, and she responds all in a very, very passive-aggressive way. And she basically scolds this guy for having the audacity to question her. She basically said, hey, I do apologize. I wish I would have put some more context into this email. But, quote, the Buffalo massacre occurred on Saturday, May 14th. And from that moment on, my focus was centered on the health and welfare of Tacoma's black staff and not the comfort or needs of white people. My choice.
That's shocking.
It's just shocking. It really is. It's so like wrong and unnecessary. And she goes on to basically.
Before you go on, what's her job title again?
She's the chief equity officer.
So equity means to comfort only black people and to try to intimidate only white people?
Yeah. I mean, this basic idea of we're all inclusive. No, you're not. You're not inclusive at all. You're literally creating exclusive meetings on the basis of race. And they say, well, these are affinity meetings. And, you know, people don't necessarily feel comfortable always speaking up. And for what she's basically saying, because she went, they go on from a spokesperson, put an email to me basically saying, look, we've got these meetings also for people of color, and they don't always feel comfortable speaking out or having to worry about how white people would respond to them, which I think is so condescending. Black people are perfectly capable, just as white people are, or Asians or Latino or whoever, to speak up in a way that's respectful of everyone and won't just get some sort of weird judgment just because of the color of their skin. But in just real quickly, in response to the complaint from that person, the chief equity officer wrote, I'm happy to know that reading the words white staff only makes some people cringe. It means your heart's in the right place, but I challenge you to do the work to understand why the practice of providing race-based affinity groups is a powerful tool for healing. It's absurd, and the standpoint for Metro Parks Tacoma is that we created this so that, quote, white people can move from being allies to advocates. And clearly in the context of this, it's to prevent white supremacy violence, as if anyone over in Tacoma governmental agency or anyone literally in Tacoma had anything to do with what happened in Buffalo.
Well, not only that, but also to suggest, I mean, what are the white people supposed to say in that meeting? We were all horrified. We were all impacted. We all were just torn apart individually in our hearts, but we shouldn't be torn apart as a community over stuff like this. No rational person thinks anything but just sorrow and everything else that accompanies what happened in Buffalo and Uvalde. And you've probably seen the same polls that I've been citing, Jason. For about 50 years, race relations have been getting better and better. And I'm just on a straight line upward. Everybody believed that race relations were getting better in America until about 3 years ago. And then in 2020, it takes a sharp downward turn. It's gotten worse and worse since then. And the more we have government agencies and radical activists who are focusing on dividing us, they're doing far more damage for the causes they purport to support.
Yeah, I think we are seeing this movement that is creating the division. When you tell white people, for example, that you are a beneficiary of white privilege due only to the color of your skin, you earned literally nothing. You just benefited from a society steeped in white supremacy that has to be dismantled, blah, 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 blah. What you end up doing is creating a sense of resentment. And then you are telling black people and Latinos and Native Americans, whatever it is, not Asians, because according to the left, Asians are really just white people who are privileged. But they'll turn to people of color, the BIPOC community, and say, you are the victim constantly of white people. They are the ones who are taking advantage of a system that was created so that they can succeed and you cannot. Which isn't just really an awful message to send to communities of color or whatever you want to call them. I think you end up, again, creating resentment. And so you've got two different sides having resentment towards each other. You're resentful towards one another. What is going to come of that? More division.
That's why I led the show with what's going on at my local elementary school, where they're having a families of color play date for 2 hours on the playground a week from Saturday. First of all, I always thought, according to my Crayola box, white was a color. I don't know when it ceased being a color, first of all. But then secondly, if we want to start to overcome some of these things that they are all screaming about? Wouldn't it be by having kids, elementary school age, on a playground, white and black and Hispanic and Asian, and playing together and laughing and running around? And I mean, that is the solution. But now it has become the problem. Well, this is all bizarre and very sick to me.
It is, of course, sick. But let's keep something in mind. Kids are already doing that. Kids do not care the skin color of the other child that they're playing with on a playground or on a team. They are being told, however, that you have to start change. You have to start focusing on the identity and changing the way that you view your friend instead of viewing them as, oh, that's just Stevie, my buddy. That's supposed to be, well, he's black, and thus you are creating a system of oppression against him, and maybe we ought to rethink that. And by the way, if you want to identify as a they, you can go ahead and do that too. We're having those conversations with 6-year-olds.
Well, I have at my right elbow as we speak the one photo that I treasure. It's right after my team won a state championship. I have 6 girls who are white, 4 girls who are black, 1 Asian girl, 2 of my assistant coaches are black. And we came together with a common mission, a common purpose, lifting each other up. You know, I quoted Rudyard Kipling in the last half hour because I said it incessantly when I was coaching. The strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf. And now we're doing the exact opposite. Instead of bringing everybody together, saying, we've got some common goals, mm-hmm. let's lift each other up, let's go achieve them. Now it's, okay, white kids on Friday and black kids on Saturday. It's bizarre. It's really sick.
Well, I guess segregation is in again for the left. Okay.
Jeez.
I find that to be appalling, but okay. Do what you want to do, I guess.
Jeez, yeah. Except it's having some societal dire consequences.
No big deal.
All right. You can hear Jason every afternoon, 770 KTTH. His story's up at mynorthwest.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, we have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on, including, you ready to jab your 3-year-olds? And are you ready to put a mask back on indoors? Both are coming to our region. Details straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Got a text message, Dory. Don't you divide people by ideology? Huge difference. Huge difference. There are a lot of black people who are conservatives. There are a lot of white people who are liberals. We're always going to have different perspectives on things that are going on in the news. And it's my job above everything else to offer some perspective and opinions on the news. And I come at it through my life experience. But this is very different, where we are constantly working to divide people by race. And I would suggest that, you know, income level, ideology, those are areas that also stratify people. But this thing about we are going to divide people by race is right out of the 1950s, and it is incredibly racist. I mean, when we had a white water fountain and a coloreds only water fountain, that was unbelievably racist. And now our government, our politicians are taking us back 50, 100 years, and they are every bit as racist as the horrible exclusionary policies that are the civil rights movement was supposed to begin to overcome in America. Still a journey, but this is madness. All right, onward. But I appreciate the text and the question. Parents, I also want you to give me feedback on this on the text line. If you have a kid under the age of 5, are you going to get your kid a COVID injection? Because the White House has announced this week that they are looking at the application by vaccine maker Moderna for jabbing tykes. You can hear from Dr. Ashish Jha, who told ABC News.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who have kids under 5. They're They're feeling frustrated, and I'm very sympathetic. What I know is that Moderna has completed its application. Those data are being looked at very closely right now by FDA experts. And my expectation is that as soon as that analysis is done, probably within the next few weeks, we're going to get that expert outside committee, the VRBPAC, and then after that, FDA is going to make a decision. So my hope is that it's going to be coming in the next few weeks.
So they're hoping that you can begin jabbing your tykes. I think that's crazy. Look, you as a parent, you can make your own decisions about your own family, but I've not ever seen one tiny, teensy shred of evidence that it would make any sense for both the child and for public health to start injecting children. I've seen nothing to suggest that that's a good thing for the kid or for society. And do you think Moderna's motivation as they make this application, do you think it's the best well-being of the child, or do you think it is adding tens of billions more because people are slowing down now and getting the vax? The balance sheet needs to be propped up. We got such lofty valuations and our stock price going up accordingly for Moderna and Pfizer the last couple of years. And now that the vax for adults is starting to tail off, we got to start injecting children now. Now, maybe you have a different perspective. I want to hear. If you've got a child under five, text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. And for everybody else here in our state public health leaders are now again strongly recommending that all Washingtonians wear face masks indoors. They're not yet issuing any mandates, but the mandates could return. They say that cases and hospitalizations have been increasing for the past 2 months, and they blame ending the indoor mask mandate. So, according to State Secretary of Health, Dr. Umer Shah, he said, "This is the time to remind ourselves that this pandemic is not over. In indoor settings that are crowded or in confined places, we absolutely want you to wear a mask." So this could be the next step or just the prelude to them once again issuing a mask mandate. I will tell you that in the, what's it been now, 24 plus 3, 27 months since COVID hit, I know more people who are positive for COVID right now as I sit here talking to you today. I know more people who have tested positive or currently are with COVID than I've ever known in the last 27 months. So I know a lot of people are getting. Now, the flip side of that is not very many of them have gotten very sick at all. Some didn't even know they had it, but they did the home testing kit. Couples, it's like a mild cold. If you are older, if you have comorbidities, I think it is still wise to take every precaution. And you can make up your own mind on that. But I still think it should be an individual choice. When I go to the grocery store, I think about one out of five people have masks on. I don't think badly of them. I don't care. They can do whatever they want to do. And so I'm a big believer in all of us taking care of ourselves. I know it's a radical concept, but here's what I know for certainty. Government does not care about you, and they certainly don't care about me. I'm the burr under their saddle, for crying out loud. Government cares about getting as much money as possible and galvanizing as much power as possible. And the two go hand in hand. The money is a necessary component for galvanizing power. Make up your own minds, but these mandates, Jay Inslee's emergency powers, and jabbing kids, I think it's mad. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then to the fastest 15 we will go. And Brandi Crews will also join me next hour here on the Dory Monson Show.